When you have a product that every home and business in America uses, and the industry has been around for several decades, how do you stand out? Even if your product is truly revolutionary, you still need to find ways to get noticed, especially in the early days. Today's guest has an amazing product, but he's also had quite a journey over the past couple of years bringing it to market in attention-grabbing ways that you could learn from as you grow your own business.
Are you looking for new ways to make your sales grow? You've tried other podcasts, but they don't seem to know. Harvest the growth potential of your product or service as we share stories and strategies that'll make your competitors nervous. Now, here's the host of the Harvest Growth Podcast, John LeClaire.
Super excited today to be talking with Winston Mock. He's the founder of Whoosh. You can check their business, their website out at whooshair.com, W-O-O-S-H. AIR.com. If you're driving, don't worry. It's in the show notes as always. Check it out later. But let's dive in and talk about the product. And really, I'll let Winston really describe what it is, what it does. But first of all, welcome to the show, Winston. Thanks for joining us.
John, thank you for having me. Really excited to be here.
So what is Whoosh, the Whoosh air filter, and how does it work?
Yeah. So great question. The Whoosh air solution is comprised of two products, and they effectively transform your home's HVAC, which predominantly does heating and cooling, into a smart air purifier. So the product is made up of two, as I mentioned. It's a smart air filter, as you can see here, and an air quality monitor. And each part on their own, you know, one monitors but can't act, and the other one can only act but doesn't monitor. So they work together, and they bolt onto your existing HVAC system. And then now you have heating, cooling, and air purification. And what's cool about it is, you know, we work very closely with the smart thermostat companies. So whether it's Sensi, Honeywell, Nest, or Ecobee, and we integrate in their systems because there's a part where, you know, if the air quality is poor, you know, your air quality monitor will go from a nice green to a yellow to a red. That's when a signal gets sent to your smart thermostat. So it's turned red. And that signals that we should circulate the air, which filters the air through your HVAC system. And so the smart air filter engages that point. And this air filter is a bit different than the one you might normally have at home, which is made in cardboard. It works like a Swiffer. So it has two parts. It's got a reusable frame and a disposable filter. So we work with top filter manufacturers to produce really high quality filters. So they meet the same quality standards of the filters you're buying today. And we specialize in MERV 13 filters. So ones that are very high performing, but we also choose ones that have technology that makes it very low energy. And then we've got this reusable frame. And this is where all the innovation is on the filter side, because not only is it reusable, so it's more sustainable overall, but it has sensors integrated into it and some convenience features, like just handles. You know, if you've ever pulled a filter out of a furnace, sometimes it's hard to reach, or it's you've got to kind of pinch it. Or it could be in the ceiling. This has magnets, so it actually keeps it in place. But a cardboard one, if it's all dirty, would fall in your face. Yeah. So even simple things like that. And I think the most valuable point is really the sensors that are integrated directly in the frame. And this allows us to measure the performance of the air filter over time. And when you're talking about higher levels of filtration, you really want to make sure, you know, they clog quicker. So you want to make sure you know when it needs to be changed. And we automatically monitor it for you. So this is a set it and forget it solution. Once you set it up, Whoosh is monitoring your air filter. And when it's time for a change, we automatically send you one in the mail. So that way, when it shows up, you know exactly when to change it. We want this to be as easy for a homeowner to have and never to worry about it, because the number one thing people do is forget to change the air filter. Yeah. And, you know, with the world now with wildfires, COVID, you know, you just have pet allergies. Air quality is something that really improves the quality of life. And it's remarkable how many of our customers just send us emails just about, oh, I moved to a Whoosh filter and now my air is clean. I sleep better at night. My productivity is better. And I live in California where we've got wildfires, and that's why I started the company. So it's one of those things that, you know, as the world changes with climate change, I think, you know, filtration is growing importance, and our solution just makes it easier to manage. It's a set it and forget it solution.
I love this product. It's funny. A couple things come to mind for me. So one is I have a Nest thermometer or temperature guide at home, smart, yeah, whatever you call it, device. And so it kind of, you know, it sets everything up. And I just got the warning a couple of days ago to replace our filter. But right now, without Whoosh, it's just based on time, right? So it just assumes it's dirty. So every time when I pull it out, it's disgusting. Like, it's way beyond where I should have, but you forget about it, right? Like, that's not something that's top of mind for us. So I love that this, you know, the device is telling you when it's dirty, when it's ready. And I'm assuming, you know, you probably have a lot more data on this, but I can only assume that certain times of year, it's going to get dirtier faster, right? So summer or winter is worse than another. So it's not so much a time period necessarily as it is, and how much stuff is going through your home. Like you said, if you've got pets or things going on outside, you know, I live in the suburbs of Denver, south of Denver, beautiful skies, you know, it's clean, crisp air. And yet our filter is disgusting. We don't have pets at home, right? Like, it's just like, and I don't know when it's going to happen. Sometimes it's much worse than others. So I love that it tells you when to replace it, so you can have a cleaner, safer environment around your home, your family, visitors, etc. So it's a wonderful concept.
Yeah.
What are some of the down? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to mention the way analogy I like to tie it to is like your toothbrush. Often now, if you've got an electric one, has a blue strip indicator, and so before that was there, you just had to guess. I don't know when you changed it last or the bristles frayed enough, but now with that blue indicator, you know when it needs to be changed, and ours is effectively doing the same thing. Unfortunately, filters are like hidden usually. They're in attics, they're in basements, they're in places where you forget to see them. That's why people just totally forget. And here we can, you know, and it really impacts your HVAC system, right? Because the more strain you put in that system, that's the most expensive appliance in your entire home. And it, you don't want to get that. If you have to make a phone call because it broke, it usually happens on the hottest or the coldest days of the year.
Yeah.
Now, you don't even know if you can get a technician over because their other homes have had the same. So we try to mitigate against the, you know, risks on your system in addition to making your life easier and the healthy home better by taking care of that air quality. But we're actually protecting the occupants and the equipment, and doing it in a way just like your toothbrush. Once that blue indicator goes, we'll just send you a new one.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up because there have been a few times in my home where the AC system or the heating system shuts down, right? Like you said, the hottest or the coldest day of the year, I go downstairs and sure enough, it's this disgusting filter that's just, you know, long overdue for a change. You swap it in and it runs runs beautifully. But how many weeks before that is it pushing extra hard and frankly pushing dirty air into my home that we're not thinking about, but we're certainly breathing it in.
Yeah. And heat and your energy bills go up.
Oh yeah.
The air quality suffers. I mean, there's just a range of things. And if you think of it, your HVAC system is the arteries, you know, the ductwork or the heart and the arteries for the house. Yeah. And it's just important for maintenance because, you know, being the occupants, you care most about that it's comfortable and that your air is clean. And that way, you know, I've got a 10-month-old and, you know, I think about more of a developing respiratory system. My dad, he's in his mid-80s now. So, he's got an aging respiratory system. So I think, you know, about all of those aspects coming into life, you just want it to be a little bit easier and one less thing to think about. And so I think with Whoosh, you know, filters haven't changed in a long time. You go to Home Depot or Lowe's and you still see the same kind of cardboard filter. And, you know, with all... you move to a Nest, which is a smart thermostat. It just makes it a little bit better. I think with Whoosh, we're trying to support that mission towards a smarter home that's more convenient, got better intelligence, and leaves it, you with, you know, a more a healthier home that's, you know, easier on your wallet in some aspects because you're doing it more intelligently. You're only changing when it needs to be changed.
Yeah, it just feels like one of those ideas where it's like, I can't believe I didn't think of this. It's genius. It's like, I can't believe this doesn't exist or didn't exist before you came up with this product. What originally inspired you?
It was 2018 leading into 19. I'm from Canada originally. I grew up in Toronto near the Great Lakes. And I think air quality there is different than obviously when I moved here to California. I was working at Google from 2015. So first 3 years, there were wildfires, but they didn't really hit the extremes. I don't know if you remember ever seeing in the news, the orange sky, a dystopian sky that cascaded down. That was the event for me because the Google offices would have to either remain closed or they would tell you to stay indoors because it was just unhealthy to be outside. So I ended up, my partner at the time, you know, was like, hey, what should we do? And I said, look, let's get an air purifier at minimum. So I went to Best Buy. All the cheap ones had sold out. Only the really expensive Dysons were left. And I said, look, I don't want to spend $800, $900 to buy an air purifier. So I went on YouTube, and I think it was a University of Michigan had a professor who's like, look, here's a cheap air purifier. Go to Home Depot or buy it online and pick up a MERV 13 filter and stick it on a box fan. And at least you have something that will clean the air. And so I wanted to buy one filter, and it was like $25. And I was just like, oh, that's really expensive. And you work out the economics, you start realizing air filters are like big picture frames, and you're shipping a box that is a bit oversized. So you're paying $16, let's say, for the shipping.
Yeah.
The filter isn't that expensive. And so I thought to myself, well, heck, here's an opportunity. What happens if you could just like fold it? So the design I showed you with the Swiffer was just my first attempt down that foyer. But, you know, it started with the wildfires. And then I really got a creative wind down that path because I saw a different way of doing it. And I gave it a shot. I was really big into 3D printing at that time. So it just kind of coincided. And this was just before COVID. So you can imagine, as I got into COVID, I really got a chance to dive deep because we suddenly had a lot of time in our hands. So, I mean, if you think about what I've managed to do in that time, we've taken a very traditional cardboard filter, which can't fold, takes up space, and you have to buy maybe like six of them at a time. And now we've got a Swiffer like design that, you know, the filters fold up and there are electronics built into it. So it's, you know, it's quite a divergent evolution in terms of where filters, I think, are going.
And I love the comparison to the air purification devices. We've got a client actually that has a very successful one. It works well, but it's several hundred dollars. At the end of the day, modern HVAC systems, that's what they do. But it's, as you're saying, if you don't replace your filter more often or when it gets dirty, then the benefits stop or slow down. So you need that extra device, or just get a better or filter or replace your filter more often, and you can take care of that. So it's a great comparison, and really just taking the mindset of moving away from, do I need a several hundred dollar purification device that only does part of my home, or do I get better filters that takes care of my entire home and really less expensively, especially in the long run?
John, I would say you're a marketer at heart here. I hear exactly the things that, you know, and this as the end user making it for myself, yeah. You're exactly voicing really what the yeah. promise was. You know, at the end of the day, the core values for at least Woosh, I really also wanted something. You mentioned their whole home. It takes care of your whole home. And the reality here was trying to make something more accessible, because it's something that's, you know, it's only one filter, addresses the whole home. And, you know, yes, air room purifiers can have higher levels of filtration, and that's fantastic. I mean, you can always add that on, but I always term it as a first line of defense that can take care of generally most situations. This is a great single filter. You can just easily change on an existing system you already have and get your home into a place where it wasn't before. It's utility that actually just latent in your HVAC, but you need to be a bit more active with the filters, both by changing, and I think sensory means a lot, because when you move to higher levels of filtration, you have to just be more mindful that the sensors make sure that it operates properly, and when it's time to change, it is getting changed. Otherwise, you're you know, effectively using a higher level of filtration in a system. If you leave it in absence, then, you know, it could be bad outcomes. Yeah. Just like you would leave a filter today, you mentioned it gets clogged.
Yeah, for sure. So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the marketing of your business and how what successes you've had already in the startup phase as you get ready for your big launch, really, to really get into market. So far, as I understand it, trade shows have been one of the elements or one of the strategies that's worked well for your business. How have you been able to take advantage of trade shows, or how have they been helpful for you specifically?
Yeah, I guess we've done two types of shows recently. Yep. One leading into Christmas was more of a kind of a open fair. San Francisco has a local manufacturer's fair, so a lot of local manufacturers can expose. And, you know, you're just working the floor. Like I used to work in a flea market, you know, growing up as a kid. And so it was very similar. It's an open market. You're selling your product, but you're pitching. We got into Eureka Park, and so that was late in the year. And we got into Eureka Park at CES just this past January. And that was just an amazing experience because it's all dedicated to a lot of startups, and they've got a, you know, a huge amount of traffic. I think CES is, you know, in the 100,000 plus range of visitors now. And I think they were obviously higher even before COVID, but it's coming back. And so it was just a huge expose for us to be able to engage with so many industry partners.
Yeah.
And I would say Woosh was positioned a bit uniquely because, and this is just my guess, but we were targeted by many. There was just a huge number of visitors. But if I were to put my wish list of companies I wish would come talk to us, almost all of them came. And I think it's partly because in our category, which is kind of DIY HVAC, there's only so many companies, I think, that were at CES doing such things.
Yeah.
So as you kind of went down into smart home and tied it to HVAC, particularly in the startup space, we were one of the few. And, you know, as they all came, we spent a fair bit of time with them. Some of them actually came by the booth maybe 5-6 times with different teams. You know, I think the real bonuses for us leading up to this, obviously, is we did Kickstarter in April last year, and I immediately auditioned to get onto Shark Tank by October. And so, you know, we were already gaining traction. So, you know, even from our Kickstarter, we had many Fortune 500 companies had reached out at that point. And so from a marketing strategy, Kickstarter actually was enough because, you know, in some respect, some of it has to do with the product. Air filters are I think a space that they generate a lot of recurring revenue. I don't think, you know, a lot of people know how much they make, but I think it's a large industry. You know, it's in every single home and business with forced air, which is for the nation, right? So, and it's also a space where you can imagine there's been a lot of players that have been there for a long time building their walls.
Yeah.
And so us coming in as a new incumbent really kind of shook things up because I think, you know, just the profile, I came from Google as an outsider. A lot of folks reached out after Kickstarter kind of asking questions like, you know, what's your vision? What are you seeing? And or how are you looking at your product integrating in? And a lot of people may look at us as a filter manufacturer, but we actually, if you saw the design, the filters are still in partnership with, you know, leading manufacturers. We wrap it with intelligence because we're really a Silicon Valley kind of hardware tech company, if not data and analytics.
Yeah.
So we work in great harmony actually with the industry. So leading from Kickstarter and getting a lot of industry outreach helped us build those relationships. And then as we got into Shark Tank, it proliferated it to a lot of kind of medium-sized companies where people worked at. So a lot of people who watched Shark Tank, it drove D2C, but it also drove a lot of outreach from people who wouldn't have seen our Kickstarter, but we're in the industry. You know, whether it's a wind farm or, you know, farming reached out. Wind farms had reached out. Different industries I never thought of that. You know, like, hey, we changed our filters a lot, and I really like what you have because I have to send somebody to the roof of my farm.
Yeah.
Right. Which is a pain. It's like, you know, sometimes I pull that thing out and it looks clean, but I can't see it. So here we are trying to bring visibility to what often can't be seen because it's behind walls and in a tough spot. And a lot of businesses are trying to manage these things themselves as best they can versus necessarily signing up with a service company because it's quite expensive sometimes to have a contract with a service agent when you can do some of these things yourself. So, you know, yeah, enabling that as well. But just coming back to the trade show, I think after Kickstarter and to Shark Tank, we really had a great leg into CES, and it was just a blast. It was my first time there and engaging with a lot of different customers, and actually for them to physically see the product versus what they saw on TV,
yep,
or what they saw on our website, it made it very real, I think. So we've had a lot of follow-up that we've been doing since, and you know, I think trade shows actually are extremely effective when you have a hardware product because it builds belief that the thing is real. People can ask more intimate questions when they can see the detail. And I think when you can engage with different teams at an earlier stage of a company, you can really build, you know, early relationships that, you know, will blossom over time. So like being a young company, I think it is really helpful to get your face out there and to engage with real people.
And I liked how you talked about CES really standing out, you know, being unique, because there aren't a lot of HVAC related products at there at the, you know, the event itself, but there is demand, right? Everyone needs it. Just not a lot of competitors. And I think, you know, we've found that to be successful both for us, but also for a lot of our clients that go to trade shows, where if you can find one where you stand out, it needs to fit, right? You don't want to go to a cheese fair, right, to sell your HVAC product, but you got to go something that makes sense, but where it's not like a sea of everybody else, as opposed to like an HVAC only fair and everyone's selling filters and, you know, you got to try to stand out. And part of it is like any form of marketing, whether it's trade show, whether it's digital marketing, the more you can stand out and really differentiate, the cheaper your marketing gets, right? Because you're not paying that much more to stand out. If you go to CES, there's a lot of categories, TVs, for example, there's a ton of them, right? They've got multi-million dollar booths because they've got to do something to stand out and really grab your attention, as opposed to your product, right? For you, your product is what makes you stand out at the event. And I think that's great advice for you to take, whether it's trade shows or any other marketing, is how can you stand out from the crowd, and which inherently brings down your cost of marketing, brings up your results, which is great.
Oh, 100%. I will double down on what you just mentioned there, knowing how to stand out. AHR, which is the big conference for HVAC, actually happened this week. And we did have some attendance from our team there, but we chose CES over that for the same fact that, you know, in the HVAC space, I've grown a deep appreciation, obviously, for that space, and we have many partners in it. But I feel, like you said, our ability to stand out there is going to be very different than if we invest our time in another show that has a lot of traffic, yeah, with a different type of reach. Obviously, the audience, it really matters how well it meshes. Like you said, if I went to a cheese one, I'd stand out, but it wouldn't make sense. Right. So I think there is the right selection in there. We actively chose not to exhibit at the HR conference, which is the big HR one, for the sake that if we were going to make an investment there and we did need to stand out, we would need to invest a lot more effort.
Yeah.
And that may be worth it, but you have to go in prepared and ready to make that investment. Otherwise, you know, if you're in the noise or in the weeds, then you might have wasted a lot more of your capital or your precious resource. And for a startup, the amount of cash that you have and the time you have throughout the day is very limited. So you got to squeeze every part out of it and try to make the best decisions you can.
Yeah, you got to make hard choices for sure. We just can't do it all. Time, and whether it's time or money, we all have limited resources in one way or another, right? For sure. Well, Winston, are there any resources that you'd recommend that have been really helpful for you along your journey?
Yeah, when I think about the journey I've been on, so this is my second startup, the previous one was in the mobile space, but, you know, the resources I find most helpful particularly relate to, you know, entrepreneurship. And so Ben Horowitz from Andreessen Horowitz has a book called The Hardest Thing About the Hard Things. And that book really resonates to me because it always brings me back to, frankly, it's a tough read because, you know, the title, it's in the title.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a tough read for the sake that it's a very real reminder of what journey you're on as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I always think it's most important, you know, to have both, you know, I think of that book, but also my advisory doing two of the same things. Always kind of reminding me that, you know, it's a marathon, not a race. And you're the only one who will ever determine whether you stop, right? But the race, or you will only win if you keep persisting. And it's a stark reminder of that. And my best advice or lesson from reading that book also is, well, how do you, you know, it's one thing to read it and soberly accept that may be true. How do you best prepare for that? I always find it surrounding yourself with a variety of people that know how to give you the other side of the world, or the grass is greener when you're on one side looking out.
Yeah.
Right. Or maybe the analogy is more, you know, they're always behind you, you know, when you feel like you're knocked down. And I think for a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs, whether they're investing money or launching a product, doing a big launch campaign. Like I give an example, like when I launched Kickstarter, you can't help but you hope that it'll drive virally, right? I mean, you just hope, you know, and then the reality in our case, it just kind of goes the way it does, and it's good. but it's definitely not what you may have hoped. And you have to then react. And, you know, I talked to some of my advisors, I thought of what are the options, and it kind of came down to, well, heck, why don't you just try to apply for Shark Tank? Because you know, that's free advertising that gets you pretty wide. Because, you know, driving traffic is the problem you have. I think you got a great product. And so lo and behold, 11 auditions later, one can get there. But you gotta believe it, because if you let that, let's say with Kickstarter and the campaign go, and you're not just pumping money in ads to drive traffic, you've got to find different ways. And you know, I think a lot of businesses continually have to be resilient against, you know, and changing really quickly, and persistence. You know, there's are different ways. It's weird to think that that may be the solution for many, but it worked out for me in the end. So I'm glad I applied.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a great recommendation. It's good to remember we're not alone when we face hard things too, right? I love reading resources like that, where we hear others' journeys along the way, and it reminds us other people have been through trials. Every success went through difficult times in the beginning. So when we face those, sometimes we feel very alone. It's good to reach out to, whether it's people that have gone through it or through books or whatever it might be, but finding like or similar stories. Well, Winston, is there anything I didn't ask that you think could be helpful for our audience?
Yeah. You know, I always think of one thing, and this more related to me personally, but I think it would resonate with a lot of folks who, you know, we've all been through COVID this last while, but those thinking about kind of going after and changing their career and starting something new. Like, I'm a prime example of somebody who was working at Google, had a great job, really loved it. And you know, there was a moment where I was starting to go in this avenue doing air filters, and a lot of people probably looked at me going, what are you doing? Why? You know, and even people who were very business savvy were like, you know, they're so cheap, or there's so many filters out there and everything. Yeah. But I took a chance. I left, and I knew that if I was just going to work to collect another paycheck, you know, you got to go for it. So I think the thing we may not have covered specifically in this podcast, but one thing I would leave folks with who are listening is, you know, if you're thinking about starting something new, even if you don't know what it is yet, like, I'm a prime example through kind of the last couple of years that I moved from one space to a completely new area in HVAC that I had no prior learning or understanding before. And I just gave it a shot, and I've been running with it. I've been every step along the way, as you can see through what we've chatted about, it's just been surprise after surprise after surprise. And I've been very thankful that it's worked the way it has. And that may not always be the case, because that lesson that, you know, when you ask me about one thing, is still there are the hard, you know, hard things about hardest things about the hard things. And they'll still resonate true, but I wouldn't give it up for anything. And I encourage everybody to still make those leaps of faith. And, you know, I'm great evidence that, you know, you can be in one world and doing something completely different later. And persistence is really key here, and just sticking to it. So, yeah, hopefully that helps your audience. And, you know, I'm really excited about the future, where Woosh is going, and everybody that's supported us to get to where we are, including yourself. I really appreciate you having us on the show. This is a great opportunity for us to get our voice out and some of our lessons that we've learned along the way.
Well, it was a real pleasure for me as well. Thanks so much for your time, Winston. Love to have you back on the show to hear more about your journey as your business continues to grow. So let's definitely keep in touch on that. But in the meantime, wish you all the best of luck. And again, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, John. Love being here. Thank you again.
Please go to whooshair.com to learn more about Winston's business. Check it out. Please support them and see all the great work that he's done over these past few months. This is a brand new startup. He's already seeing great success. And be sure to check out harvestgrowth.com to see other episodes we've recorded. And if you like this episode, you want to learn more about how you can profitably grow your consumer product, business, or service, please subscribe to our show. Or you can set up an appointment right from our website to speak directly with a member of the Harvest Growth team in a free consultation to learn the process that's worked for hundreds of businesses since 2007.